Hey everybody, I want to start the show before Dave gets here. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon, we're episode 184, and I just want to say Dave's been keeping me here against my will for the last, well, for about 184 episodes. He's not here right now. Listen, if you in any way can call the police, I would appreciate it. And hi, Dave. Hey, pal.
What's going on?
Starting the podcast.
Oh, okay. So,
out of my own free will, as always.
Of course.
Good fun.
Yes, let's not talk about that. So, well, you should introduce the show. I'll give you the cue, and then you can start the show properly.
Yeah,
okay?
All right. Yeah. Lovely.
Okay. Just here we go. Here's your cue.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon, episode 184. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
And we're recording live to digital audio tape. I don't know what we're
I think
doing.
That's right. We're recording to a DAT machine. Good old DAT.
Yep.
That technology lasted a long time.
Yeah, and then that's all.
That's all, folks.
Huh? That's as good as this is going to get. How's it going, everybody?
Again, you're saying that?
Yep. That's how we're going to lower the expectations and raise the flag. It's time for Sneaky Dragon.
I was so depressed after last week's show.
Did you listen to it later?
I didn't. I thought it was fine.
It was fine, exactly, right?
I was so upset.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what I would say would help
funny.
You?
Yeah.
Up your game.
A sense of perspective?
Nope.
Okay.
Just be better.
Just be better?
Yeah. Okay. Just get better.
I'm going to put my nose to the grindstone.
In fact, Dave, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Would you mind making a commitment to excellence?
I will.
All right.
110% effort.
Why does no one ever go 111? Because everyone else is making 110.
Yeah.
If you go 111,
you'll do
crush them.
It's a Spinal Tap
skit. Crush them. Exactly.
Yeah.
Smashy, smashy.
Okay.
And we're done. So we have just finished recording our Totally Tintin episode, as we do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm less exhausted than normal. I think it's because instead of going to a restaurant for our mid-show meal,
yeah.
I went back to my place and we ate on the patio.
Yeah,
it was very refreshing.
It was actually, I think you're right. It was actually really nice, just sitting, chatting in the fresh air.
Yeah. We had popsicles.
We had some popsicles.
We had some Mexican food.
I had one shaped like a whale.
My sister-in-law, Victoria, was looking after this little dog, Lily,
mm-hmm.
a little chin dog who coincidentally has something wrong with her chin, which means her tongue can't stay in her mouth, but she's adorable because of it. It's one of those genetic defects that makes you so cute.
And also unwanted in your breed.
Yeah, basically they were going to kill the dog at birth. This was true.
Mm-hmm.
They went, oh, we got to get rid of it. No, said a nice person. Okay, but you got to make sure the dog will never breed. Yes, we will not. And then there you go. Because it's the result of mega inbreeding.
I can understand that because, I mean, that's part of breeding, whether it's dog breeding or horses or whatever.
Yeah.
You end up with chronic problems that can... Not only does it, you know, it impacts on the breed. I mean, you're taking this animal and you are basically making it into this walking problem.
Yeah.
And that affects it. It's kind of animal cruelty of a different sort. You know, rather than beating it or whatever, you're just making this life for it that it can't possibly be good or happy at. You know, whether it's, you know, chronic hip problems or heart defects or whatever. I mean, there's lots of dog breeds that can't even make it past 8 years old,
yeah.
which is ridiculous. But because... there's some thing that people liked about one particular dog that becomes this, you know, chronic problem in the breed.
When you see, yeah, whenever I like see the dog shows, the fancy dog shows,
yeah.
you just want to go and just go, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? You want to just like say, listen, we just got to leave the dogs in this room for just a few minutes and we're going to talk to all of you. Then you take them in the other room, then you grab all those dogs and take them away and let them have sex with each other until you get a bunch of mutts.
That can happen while they're in the room.
Mm.
You just put them in the room together.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun going on while you're talking. While
That's
you're
good.
Sternly scolding the dog.
Mix them up and mud it up and just, yeah.
No, I don't want to say this for everyone, but I feel like there has been some awareness of the damage that has been caused by this kind of, you know, super focused breeding. I know with like quarter horses in the horse world, you know, they bred their feet so small that they actually caused a lot of problems. And so they actually like made a concentrated effort to make the feet bigger again. And
right.
so they wouldn't, you know, allow into the breed, they wouldn't, you know, give papers to horses like quarter horses that had too small a feet in order to try and encourage or discourage this, you know, thing from happening to the horses. Because, you know, the foot is basically the main support part of a horse, believe it or not. It's on the ground.
Yeah.
And so you know, the smaller it is, the less support that horse had, and the more it has, and the more damage it can cause to the feet, because all this weight is crushing down on these feet. So it's our hooves, if you want to say. But yeah, I mean, you look at thoroughbreds. What's interesting with them is, at some point in the past, there was a really, really fast horse that had really shitty flat feet, because that's the most common type of foot you'll see in thoroughbreds. Is just this really shelly, brittle foot. It's practically flat. You know, and what you want is like a nice strong hoof wall with a kind of a cup to it. That's like your ideal hoof. And instead you get these awful flat spread out feet that the sole is almost like resting on the ground. And it's not that pleasant, but because they're bred for speed, not for strong feet, you ended up with this kind of chronic problem.
Would you say it's true that anything humans can have done to animals, we've done to animals? Feels like it. Feels like anything we could do, we have done.
Yeah.
Yep, that's us. I like hearing you talk horses, though. Like, I think this would not be a bad podcast.
Well, I wouldn't do it. I would get Lisa to do it, my wife to do it.
And I think you should call it Talking Ourselves Horse.
Yeah, we could.
The two of you. Yeah, I think that would be good. I'd say a nice husband and wife horse podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just feed her questions, let her talk.
Yeah.
Until she's hoarse.
Yeah, that was basically what I said a couple of seconds
ago. No, I'm just
saying,
I'm disagreeing with you. I'm liking your name.
Yeah, no, I think that would be a good show. People would listen.
I wasn't stealing your joke. I think people know that you said it before me.
Listen,
no one was not paying attention.
Any jokes on this show are 50% yours, 50% mine, and I'm trying my best to legally make them not 50% mine anymore.
Is that right?
I don't want to be responsible for most of the jokes in this show.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, in case thanks anyone gets hurt by them in the future.
Well, we've caused some pain.
Now, as we've mentioned previously, you have worked in the horse world.
On a previous show.
Yeah, you've worked in the horse world. You've done farriering.
Previously on Sneaky Dragon.
Every so often, we bring up past jobs of yours that are very manly.
Yes, I know. It sounds, you know. And I'm not a manly person.
I know, but it just gets dropped in. It's like all of a sudden we're talking about something and just like I bring up fish and then it's all of a sudden. You remember when Dave was a fisherman for a while?
Yeah.
It's just like a crazy season on the show. It feels like of your life where they decided to like just take it in a different direction. Mm-hmm. Just what if we put Dave on a boat for a couple of months? Let's see how that goes. All right. How about for a while we're going to have Dave be a farrier and we're going to have him take care of these horses. I thought he was a cartoonist. Hey, farrier. Make him a farrier. See how that goes.
Sure.
Okay. And make him do a lot more push-ups and really bulk up and get muscular and take his shirt off every so often. Okay, let's see how this show goes.
No one wants that. But
I disagree. I think our audience is fine with that.
Hmm. It is. Well, I mean, I did do a story, a comic book story, that was in our second issue of We're So Jar, available nowhere. And it in that story,
that's
it was...
That's untrue. It's available when you buy a shirt. We will often stick it into the envelope.
That's true. It disinvolves the fact that in a year's span, my life changed in every which way it possibly could. Mm-hmm. In that I got married, had a child, worked on a fishing boat, became a farrier, bought a house. Like all these things all happened in the same span of time.
Yeah.
And also got married. It was just like an incredible amount I don't think I said it in the right order, but anyway, all those things happen in the same time. So yeah, it was an amazing season of that show.
Yeah.
A lot of people said that was the year it jumped the shark though. So, you know.
Which is really disturbing when you're a fisherman.
Well, it's really disturbing when you're only, 28.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot left of your life and people are telling you it's already finished. That season was no good, Dave.
No, I think it was the cancer season where people said your life might be finished.
That was it.
And then it was like, boy, your ratings pulled up just at the last second and everything worked out. It was like, how'd you make it? Well, people like Dave. And so there you go.
It's interesting. I was just reading about testicular cancer in the paper the other day and it still has amazingly low survivor rates.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not caught in a certain amount of time. It was recommending men self-checking their testicles for cancer.
I think men just feel weird going to the doctor and talking about that kind of thing.
I think we feel weird just feeling our own testicles.
Well,
it's the least pleasant part of our body. Let's agree.
Okay. Listen, I had, let's not say a scare this week.
Okay. What's a scare? Okay. You had a scare? All
right, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, okay. I'll tell you what happened. And it turns out, okay.
Okay.
Found a little bit of a lump. Okay, well, I'm going to go.
Lump where?
On my testicle.
Okay.
Right testicle. I'm going to get this checked out.
Just want to point out to everyone, Ian was feeling his testicle.
That's right. Then.
Which is good.
A little later on, maybe say an hour,
mm-hmm.
got bigger. Fuck. Then a little later, quite a bit bigger. And then I realized.
We had a boner.
Yeah, that's right. I was going, I'm mistaking my testicle for my penis. That's a big mistake.
Yes.
No, it just turned out like there was some sort of bug bite. And so, but it was considerable thing. And it was just like, well, this is not at all. And yeah, it's everything worked out. It was all fine. But okay. It was like a little bit of a scary, what's this? Like, because I didn't know like how fast this, I know it comes on fairly quickly, but I went, it can't be this quickly.
No.
And then it was like.
It is a fast growing cancer. I mean, that's why it's dangerous, is because it grows so quickly.
That's right. Yeah.
And it spreads so fast.
Look, guys, just check it out. It's fine. Yeah. Feel it up. See what's going on.
Feel it. I wish I remembered what the signs were, but it is like a pulpy mass. Like if you feel something slightly soft or weird about your, I mean, for me, it presented in a different way. So, you know, if you have any concerns, I would say go to the doctor, because I think, what the hell?
Here's the thing. Like, it's nice that I feel like nowadays we're making a bunch of leaps in terms of, you know, if someone, you know, is transgender or this or that or the other thing, mm-hmm. we're all like, oh, well, you can talk about that. And it's open and it's this. Yeah. And we're becoming more open about sexuality and what have you. I want us to be more open also about our bodies and checking them out so we don't die of cancer. Let's do that too.
Right, yeah.
Let's just throw open those doors mm-hmm. and be like, it's fine to but I mean, you still, everyone does the jokes about the prostate exam and what have you.
Just had that a little while ago.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's fine and fine, but like.
You should.
Absolutely.
You should. And I also went and had a blood test done. You have to pay for it.
Though I did this once with my doctor. I asked for one and I got this one. Okay. It's like, well, what? This, stop. Don't give me the big sigh. Don't sigh it up.
They're probably feeling like you're not really at that stage yet.
Fair enough.
But it should be checked anyway, because it can present early. Like Frank Zappa, that's what he died of, was prostate cancer. And the reason he did is because it presented early. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't have it checked.
I actually changed doctors because mine used a slang term for my penis that I went, I don't feel comfortable with this.
Did he say ding dong?
No, he did not.
John Thomas?
No, I said, all right, let's have a look at your dick.
Charlie Farquhar?
No.
He said dick?
Yeah, let's have a look at your dick. It's like, nope. That's not what a doctor says. Things a doctor doesn't say. That.
Yeah.
Nope. Moving on. And
if he'd said the Latin term, dicus softus,
now let
that
me,
would have been fine.
Oh, I hope so. Here's the other problem with at the time. I'm just going to paint you a picture. First of all, get away
from
that.
This conversation's taking a turn.
That's
but anyway.
That's right. And listen, we just said we should be able to talk about this.
Yes, you're right.
At the time, it was.
Now I changed my mind.
It was near Christmas time.
Okay.
And so to relax people, my doctor was wearing an elf hat. So imagine, and he had a bushy beard.
Mm.
So my doctor, you know, I was telling him about something that was going on. He went, okay, let's have a look at your dick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, and then so he goes down to take a look, and he's got an elf hat and a beard, and it was just this weird Snow Whitey, like, it was just like one of the fucking seven dwarves. Like, no dice. No, no way. Let's just be really professional. My doctor right now, he's great because he looks like, and those of you, this is going to date myself here.
Okay.
He looks like Don Blake, who was the secret identity of Thor before Thor didn't have a secret identity. He was a straight-laced doctor, blonde.
With a cane?
He had a cane. This guy does not have a cane.
Oh, so he doesn't look like Don Blake then.
But he does look very much like Don Blake. And both...
Without a cane.
He's also... He was my wife's doctor first. And so I would be in, you know, not meetings, but like appointments with her.
Yeah.
And so we got to talking, and then I switched doctors when Grumpy, you know, took a look at my wing wang, and I had enough of that. So, yeah, moved on. And unfortunately, the guy used to, like, his offices were super close. It was like, oh, this is fantastic. And then moved sort of far away. I was like, oh. And now he's moved really far away. I was like, oh, now I really
have.
I
think you should take the hint.
Yes. Yeah, that's a bit of a bummer, I guess.
Yeah, it was interesting in this article. If it's not caught within 2 years, your survival rate drops to 5% with testicular cancer. So yeah, it's important to check because it, like I say, it grows really fast, but it also reacts really well to chemo. So if you catch it in time, it can be treated.
So how soon in did you?
3 years.
Whoa, so you're in the 5% club.
I was less than 5%. The doctors didn't think I would make it to present. They don't tell you that, of course. They don't leave that stuff out. But it spread quite a bit through me. So, because it grows really fast, and you don't notice, it makes its way around. You know, it's not a pushy. You know,
well,
it pushes stuff around.
I am very glad you made it.
Me too. Otherwise, there'd be no Sneaky Dragon.
Nah, I'd probably do this anyway.
Oh,
let's be honest.
Just for someone else.
The technology, you know, is going to come around anyway, right?
That's true.
That's fine. I'd call it something else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how's your dick? I'd probably team up with my doctor, old doctor, and we do like kind of a Dr. Drew type thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's probably be quite popular.
Yeah. And
this show. We could change the name of the show to Dr. Dragon.
Old Doc Elf, we'd call it.
Dr. Dragon? Do you like that?
It's fine. Dr. Dragon is actually interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be our spinoff where we just talk about your medical problems.
Yeah. Or just call it Dragon's Pete.
I know what you mean with that one. I don't quite get it. I'm sorry.
Well, it's his penis.
Oh, I get it.
You didn't get it at all then.
No, not at all. I don't think dragons have a penis, so it doesn't matter.
Yes, they do.
Find me that in Lord of the Rings.
Well, come on. That's hardly the
end goal. In your D&D manual? Where? Yeah. Where do you find it? What book are you seeing a dragon's
that's
penis?
That's right. In the Dungeons & Dragons manual. They have a high charisma.
Huh? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to roll for changing the subject.
Sure.
And I win.
What? Oh, 20.
Now, on the last show, I don't know if we talked about it on the last show. Maybe we talked about it afterwards. I recommended a web
series. We did talk about it on the show.
Okay. I recommended a web series to you.
Yes, called Strip Search.
Right.
Which, if you click on the wrong one, you'll end up in a show about stripping.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to change to the right one?
Well, it took me a little while to realize it was a wrong show, of course, because it was all these beautiful women who were taking their clothes off.
Right.
And so
like, get to the drawing.
I was so impatient.
When are you going to ink?
That's right. I kept saying, when are we going to see the quirky drawings by these people? Mm-hmm. And I just kept watching women take their clothes off over and over again.
But you were like, this seems to be
looking
a lot
at my
of,
watch.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of money in cartooning.
Yes, it seems to be. And where they put it is
interesting.
They just
throw it at you.
Yeah, they just throw it. It's just like, why I should get on the ground floor.
Actually,
on this.
I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
And this is a weird thing to bring up, mm-hmm. but sometimes when my wife does a drawing for somebody at a con.
Yeah.
And she says she'll do a free drawing for, a real small free drawing for people.
Sounds like a con.
Yeah, sounds like a con. But they feel guilty about it. I'm like, oh, how much do I owe you? Oh, don't worry about it. Then you got to take something. Oh, I'm good. They will often take, not often, but enough that it's weird.
Yeah.
They will take money out.
Yeah.
They will literally throw it at her. And then, because they feel weird, run away. They will throw money and then they will run. It's just this weird phenomenon.
Huh.
It's just like, they can't take it. They've got to like give some money. And it's like, I'm gone.
I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, they, respect Pia's art so much that it just feels weird to them to be given it.
I think they just like throwing money. I think people like any excuse to throw money.
Well, come on, people. I'm there too.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
No, but you'll take the money is the problem.
Yeah.
They go, Dave, do you want a $5 bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take it. See, that's a problem.
Oh.
Now you go, no.
Okay.
Then they have to throw it at
that's
you.
That's a lot of training.
But that's a good way of getting a loony hucked at your head.
too much hard
work. A loony is perfect for choking if you have your mouth open. That's the perfect size.
Yeah.
That's how they designed the loony, was the perfect esophagus size.
Yeah. Well, that's why they changed the toonie to have that insert part in it, because that will pop out and allow you to breathe.
Right. So it's a reality show that the Penny Arcade fellas.
I've never read Penny Arcade, to be honest with you. I don't know what it is. I know it's something to do with gaming,
mm-hmm.
and they have a comic strip.
Yeah, it's mostly about
Thank
gaming.
You.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because you can go to their website and read their comics, but they have the option there of like, would you like to see the first comic? And you can like look through them all. Mm-hmm. And if you look through the first comic, it's great seeing how the art has radically
improved?
Yeah. It's almost like it went from Dilbert to Galvin and Hobbes in like the amount, it's not dark good, but it's good enough and stylized and really pretty, and you can tell the artist really now knows their craft and loves drawing.
They have good brushes in Photoshop.
They do.
That's what it tells you.
And occasionally the artist will do, I wish I knew their name, will do these big
Mike?
Full page, let's go with that. We'll go with these big full page things where it's just for the fun of drawing, and it'll
Ken?
Be like a martial arts type thing. I could not tell you if my life depended on it.
I think it's Ken, Mike and Ken.
Let's go with that.
Sure.
But there's a samurai that's got like a cardboard tube, and it's just a cardboard tube samurai, but it's really beautifully drawn, and you can just tell it's love of drawing. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And if you look at the first drawings, it's great. You see how you as an artist,
that's
don't
great.
Don't yeah. start. You know, with you start with dar, 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 and then eventually you learn how to do it.
We've talked about that, but it is good to see that.
It's good to see an example.
It's good to see that someone is not averse to leaving it there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what the hell? Instead of hiding the beginnings and kind of quietly sweeping it under the rug. No, it's there if you want to see it. You can see it. But the show was very interesting. It's in a format that I'm not that fond of. I'm not a huge fan of reality TV shows. But I found that if you watch the second challenge, it was more comic industry related.
So it's an elimination style.
It's an elimination thing. But what was interesting about the I think they borrowed stuff from various shows, but I don't know if they stole the elimination style, because the elimination is the contestant who wins the final competition of that week has to choose who will leave. So they have to choose two people that will then draw head to head, and then their drawings will be judged by the Penny Arcade people, and then they will decide who will go and who will stay. So it's interesting because it kind of puts a twist on things. Like, if you win, it's good because you're safe. You won't choose yourself.
Right.
Unless you're, you know, really self-confident. So,
but you've then got to be the bad guy.
But then you've got to be the bad guy, yeah. And the interesting thing about the show is because they're artists, because they're cartoonists, you don't get that kind of thing that you get on other shows where there's, you know, those really competitive people and then all, you know, throwing all the time going, it's a competition. You know, and it's, you know, to be honest, it's, you know, you have to try, and you know,
I'm not like, here to make friends.
I'm not here to make friends, and but you know, and or there's no alliances and things where people teamed up against other people, and I won't choose anyone else if it's really evenly out, and the stuff like where, you know, well, this person hasn't done this before, so that's why I chose you to go. You know, like, that's a reasonable reason to choose. You haven't gone. You haven't walked through fire like I have. Like in the first two episodes, the same woman is chosen twice, and you know, to have to go through it. You know, and it seems fair the first time, I guess, but the second time it seems like, oh, it's really piling on. You know, but it's a real walk through the fire for her. And in fact, I don't want to spoil the show, so I don't want to say who won. But you know, it really gives her some strength through the rest of the thing. But the way I was kicking myself today, I watched it last night while I was finished. I was just when we were
checking your testicles.
Yes. Very carefully.
Dad, get out of here. My friends are over.
I was using my daughter's computer in her room. What? It's got the best speakers. I was pasting. I put post-it notes in the Tintin book so I remind myself where things are that I want to talk about.
Right.
And so, you know, I'd already read it a couple times. I knew what I wanted to say. So I was just watching / listening to the show.
By the way, spoilers for this week's episode on Totally Tintin.
Yeah.
World War II ends.
Well, it does and it doesn't.
I know, but it's really exciting. Like, I didn't actually know that was going to happen. And midway through this story, we're just going through the story and stuff happening. Okay, so now World War II ends. What? And then... Da, 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 da. It was really interesting. That's anyway, right. This week's Totally Tintin.
I put on a sailor suit and kissed Ian.
Yeah, it's the Seven Crystal Balls episode. Anyway, back to...
I'll say.
Okay, so you're checking your testicles and looking at the computer. Right.
Well, I was reading Seven Crystal Balls, so yes, of course I'm just...
One, two...
It's too many. So I was listening, watching the show, and I watched it to the end. So I saw the end of
it. Okay. I don't know if I have. I'm not sure who wins.
Oh, you're not sure who wins?
Nope.
And so I was
kind of... care either.
I was kind of... Well, you know, that's a thing. And I was kind of... I was rooting for one lady, and I really... And I was started rooting for another lady, because I really liked what she was doing.
So now we know it's two ladies that get to the end.
No, not necessarily, because there was three people get to the end. And so... But, and so it gets down to the final, and then the person that I liked the most wasn't chosen. And, then I was thinking today at work, I was like, gee, I wonder how she felt about that. Like, if it was a real gut, you know, real gut punch, and you just felt like, ugh, I don't feel like drawing anymore. It's stupid. I'm quitting and go home. And, I feel like anything I say, I'm going to give away stuff. But anyway,
don't worry about it. It's okay.
She's from...
It's a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's from the 2013. She's from Montreal, Quebec. This one, the one, and I call her a girl. She's 20. This one girl that I liked her art a lot, and she had a great sense of humor. And so...
she seemed like she could have been one of your daughters, by the way.
Yeah.
When I saw her, I was like, this genetically could come from David. I could see.
Yeah, and I love that cartoon she did with the cats, the car accident. There's one she did where... For one of her competitions, where she was put, you know, in the ring, just so people know, when they went in for their elimination round, there was two artists, and they had to draw a subject from a waste paper basket, and they had to
They pull subjects out of two waste paper.
No, just one waste paper basket.
Oh, this time one.
Yeah, okay. And there's only been one series of it.
Is that right? I thought it was two, and you had to like put these two ideas together.
The two ideas go together, but they're drawn from the same basket.
Understood. Okay.
And so then so you have to take these two ideas, and then you have to draw a cartoon that combines the two.
Right.
So originally they got cats and theater, but one of them had a redraw ticket, and so they changed the theater to cars.
Ooh,
and that's
harder.
Yeah. And harder. So then they had to, you know, sit down. They have 90 minutes to draw. To write and draw a complete cartoon, a strip. And so this one girl, she drew this strip, and it was a doctor coming in after this man's had been in a car accident to check on how he is. And he's somehow, during the operation, he's had a cat attached to his stomach. And the doctor's like, well, how did that? That's not right. We'll do another operation. And so then it says, you know, the next day or whatever. And he comes in, he's, well, Mr. So-and-so. And he looks, and there's two cats there now. It's like, well, God damn it. And they killed themselves laughing at it too. And I mean, you know, it's just like so obvious who would win that one. She has a great sense of humor. So here's the thing though. So I felt bad for her because, you know, I knew how much it meant to her to do this, but to all of them, obviously, yeah. But you could really see it in her face when she lost, that how upset she was. And so I was concerned. I was like, well, I'm going to look up and see that she's okay, that she's still working at this and everything's good. And so I go to, and I look up her name on the Penny Arcade site, and I click on it, go to her website. I read this comic, quite good, telling us how busy she's going to be the next little while. And so she's not going to be posting as much. But just so you know, this has killed me, by the way. It fucking killed me. If you're in Vancouver, I'm going to be at VanCaf this weekend at table such and such. I did not know that, and I did not see her there, and I would have loved to say hi.
Let me tell you that I passed by her on the way out while we're carrying boxes, and I went, hey, that's, aw, shit. And yeah, she was just wrapping up. And it was like, she's talking to someone that's done. And then I passed another guy from the show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on. I had said hi to Erica earlier. But yeah, it was like, damn it.
I wish I'd watched it before. And I now mad at myself that because I tried to watch it like a year ago. And I just got impatient because of the cliches of the reality show.
Let me say that you will definitely probably meet more of those people next year, because I'm sure they'll be back.
I hope she's back. Yeah.
Unless they're super famous and they don't come back.
I hope she had a really good show and that she'll come back, because I would love to say hi to her and tell her how much I enjoy her work.
They're okay, here's the other option, is they all have ways of doing that via social.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I'd rather just do it in person.
Okay, fair enough.
Here's my problem with VanCaf. And
she did a funny one about being in Calgary.
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
Yeah, which is
sun, too much sun.
Too much sun, yeah, which is really Calgary. If you go into Calgary and she stepped off the plane and just was like choking at the sun, literally that's me. When I go to Calgary, I step off the plane, my lips just go, crap, and it's, what? And my lips turn into Ben Grimm's lips. It's just terrible. And it's just like, I need water. What's with this freaking place? Yeah.
By the way, everyone, Ben Grimm is the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just a character from CSI Cyber.
Thank you very much.
That's not a problem. Or from Criminal Minds, the skinny guy with the long hair.
Yeah.
It's our rule. We have to explain things to people.
You've been pod raped. What's that? Well, it's when you download a podcast and then the podcaster finds out where you live and knows what you like from your podcast. Then he'll show up with a hamburger and a kitten. He's like, oh, I like those things. Why don't you come in? And then they'll do...
Then they tell you about their balls. You've been pod raped.
I know rape jokes aren't good nowadays, folks. We understand that. But
Ian said
that's CSI Cyber for you.
He was talking about canola.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was, which is funny. I had a bad thing.
I could just see you looking at the screen going, damn it.
I did. And I felt I was depressed. I wasn't just like mad. I was depressed. I was like, oh.
To be fair, you were in a different room than her.
Oh.
You weren't like sitting 10 feet from her.
I wouldn't even know who she was though, because I hadn't watched the show yet. So, and my problem at things like VanCaf is that I am so... I want
sexy
everyone.
There. You're so sexy. I'm not concerned about how you look.
That is beside the point. That happens everywhere.
Yeah.
No, it's.
You're flexing the whole time.
I'm too nice. And so I.
Explain.
I feel bad going to a table, looking at stuff,
then
putting it down and walking away. Like, I can't. I can't do it.
It is tough to not buy things.
I can't do it. So I look at from a distance and I walk by and I'm like, oh, I would love to go and look at your stuff, but I can't, because then I feel like I've already committed myself and I don't know what to do.
Here's what you do. You go up to the table, and you go, you're looking at the stuff, and you can ask, like, how's it going for you today? Mm-hmm. You can ask that. But you're not a customer.
Yeah.
You're at a table over there.
Yeah.
So you're fellow cartoonist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Not really.
And as cartoonist, because she knows she's not going to buy everything at everyone else's table, and she's probably going to say hi to people. So she's doing the same thing. Don't worry about it. You can't buy everything. You can't. You just can't do it. So you just talk and you go, hey, I like your stuff and this is good. And, you know, there you go. I wonder what she was selling. Has she got collections?
Except for Kathleen Gross. I went to her table and insulted her.
Yeah, of course you got to. You got to keep her humble.
By the way, Kathleen, if you're listening to the show still, loved your comic. So good. And your little comics were just fantastic.
They were really good. You know what I liked about them? In one of them, she's wearing the Sneaky Dragon shirt.
That's good. I just like when she gets angry.
Yeah.
Her angry face is the best one.
Yeah, she has good anger. Yeah. Okay, but let's not make her ego get too big. Because she's getting very talented very quickly. And we've got to keep her humble.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, she's just going to lord it over us.
Too true.
So, Kathleen, we spotted a mistake in one of your comics.
That's
not going to tell you what it was.
Fix it.
Yeah, you should fix it. We're not going to tell you what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Keep yourself humble. Humble it up. Actually, like, Van Caff itself, just walking around, there's a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and just going like, this is all the stuff that showed up live. You know, it makes me, like, the other day I was looking up just different web comics and just, it's a good time to.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. Now, you wrote me the other day and went, hey, I'm watching Stripped. This film, this documentary on Netflix. Mm-hmm. You should watch it too, so we can be Netflix buddies.
All right, that's fine. What I said.
And I forgot what I was watching.
And then you forgot to add that I put heart.
Yeah, I don't know how you were able to do that, but good for you. What
Triangle 3?
What the heck was I watching? Oh, I was watching Sense8.
Yeah, that's too bad for you.
I don't know it, man. It was just like I
my
watched.
My commiserations.
It was honestly like I walked into a Grateful Dead concert and just went, I'm glad you're all enjoying it. Not for me, though. I've got to go now.
Uncle John's band.
Yeah, it's like walking into a vegan restaurant and just going, this I'm sure is all delicious to you. Doesn't work for me. I understand. What's this you call it? Gorilla bread. No, I'm good. I'm going to just be hungry. I'm slowly backing away. Like watching the show, it was like, all right. I get, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Back
like,
away.
There's a bit, though, when I'm watching it, and I'm going like, okay, if you weren't, hey, man, I'm cool with this. If you weren't that, you'd be, oh, then I don't like this at all. But if you are cool with it, if you are cool with the things they put in there, you kind of want to go, I'm already cool with it. You don't have to hit me over the head with it.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like, you know, my first exposure to this, you know, this, it's just all so basic. Everything was just completely so, like, I was watching it with Pia, and we both went, well, we know what's happening next, and this is going to happen next, and this is going to happen next, because this is how it would happen in a modern comic book. This is what would happen. Here's where the person now will shoot themselves in the head, because this is what you got to do, and that's your first three pages of your comic. That's how it goes. Now, what are we going to introduce a character? Are they going to be in bed? They're going to be in bed. But wait, it's going to be that. Oh, but are they? Oh, it's so shocking. But it's not shocking, because we live in a world where it's not shocking.
Yeah.
You know, what you show me on TV that's shocking, I live in a world where you have access to anything online anyway, so it's not. Which is not great. But people who like it, mwah, love it. Anyway, back to Stripped. But you went to me, hey, you should watch this. It mm-hmm. makes you want to draw.
Yeah. That's how I felt after watching it. I was like, well, I get over my depression that I feel like I've missed out on everything. So then I'm like, I'm going to get on the ground floor of webcomics. No, I can't get on the ground floor. But what the hell? Just get on anywhere. Cause it doesn't matter. I'm going to step on the elevator at the 24th floor.
You could get on the ground floor of 3D printing.
I don't want to do that. I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss that ground floor.
Oh, boy. I could have said this about webcomics back in the day. I don't want to get on that.
You could have.
I'll be at the Kinko's if you need me. Bye, buddy.
But it was a good movie. Like, I mean, my one complaint about it.
Why don't you explain what the movie was?
Well, the boovie, did you call it?
Yeah, boo.
What it was it was a film. It interviewed 70 different.
So the movie was a film. Okay, continue.
Well, I wanted to
You're
be more specific.
Time. You're wasting time.
I wanted to be more specific.
You're wasting these good people's time. Continue.
The movie was a film. It interviewed 70 different comic strip creators, both newspaper print comics creators and web artists as well.
Right.
Web strip creators.
And the big get they had in this was Bill Watterson.
His voice.
One, he did the poster.
Okay.
And then also, yeah, he did the voice. You don't
he
see
his
him
own voice.
He's very private. Yeah.
Yeah, he's very private. Well, at the time, he'd grown up very bad mustache and didn't want anyone to see it. So it was for Movember, but still, he was interesting. I mean, everyone was interesting. It was good.
Everyone was interesting.
Maybe 70 people is a bit too much, but at the same time, it was kind of interesting to get this sort of tidal wave of enthusiasm.
Right.
And you know,
the history of the
you complained
strips.
A little bit to me about the fact that everyone's complaining about having to do something every day. And, oh, woe is me.
Oh, we can get.
I'm
into
having
that.
To draw.
That's a big subject. We can get into that.
I'm having to draw, but I mean, I complain about doing the title card every week.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right.
Don't I?
Okay.
Not very often,
I guess.
We can talk
about it. We can get into that. But there's other topics with this film that I want to get into, but I will happily get into that.
Okay. Well, what other topics? Whatever.
Here's what it was, because we were just talking about the webcomics.
Yeah.
It went along the lines of how the comic strips were invented. They were invented this, and this were the first ones, and here's your Winsor McCay, and it came from, like, etchings, and then it went to this, and it went to that. All right, that was really interesting. And then it goes on to, like, and here's how the syndicates work, and people would, like, send their stuff in, and you know, and you had people like the person who did Luann, who were like, yeah, it was great.
Greg
it was
Evans.
Fantastic. Couldn't have been better. Loved it. Jeff Keane, who I've met. I've met both those guys.
Family Circus.
Of the two, I preferred talking to Jeff Keane. Jeff Keane.
Well, it sounds like that Greg Evans was very suspicious of you.
Greg Evans, because I was trying to get stuff signed for you, and that, I don't know why that threw him off.
Mm.
But he
knows me.
But it's the narrative that
because of all the letters I've written him. It's probably
the poster
that cutout I did where I meshed his and my face together by cutting strips of our two pictures and making them together.
Right, and you also said, "Do my testicles look okay to you?"
He said, "Please stop writing to me after I sent him that picture."
I know you do like Luann. You are
I do.
Luann
I read it every day.
Very good. So
twice on Sunday
we can do our Luann podcast another time. So but from the poster, it was a gentleman cartoonist jumping out of his clothes, seeing that newspapers were going out of business. And it was a guy, and I was like, oh, is that what it's going to be? And it was, to a degree.
A little bit.
It was like, here's things are going great. They're getting better. Look at how well Schultz is doing. Hey, that Milt Kniff fella, he's a celebrity. That Jim Davis, he's on an American Express ad. Everyone else, Kathy Geiswitz, she's on The Tonight Show every so often.
She was good looking.
Holy and cow. She's also funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, this with the
I don't know why it didn't make it into the strip, but she was funny.
There you go. Then it was glamour, the glamour of the comics. Things gonna be better, ha, da, da, da. And then it's like, oh boy, you know, and then it's like things aren't great because no one's reading papers anymore. Things are getting smaller, things are getting worse, things are getting worse, things are getting worse.
I mean, things are already small when we were reading comics. I mean,
everyone was complaining about, like, Doonesbury made a big thing about, I'm not gonna get shrunk anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go to the, and so people put him on the editorial page so that, because he demanded to be a certain size.
Yeah.
And
Bill Watterson did the same thing. I mean, he...
Right. But Schultz went against Doonesbury on that and was like, don't be a fuss budget or whatever it was. And I was like, I'll shrink it down. It's fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people were fine with it. Some people weren't.
Well, I mean, to be fair or argue from both sides, I mean, Charlie Brown became popular because it was shrinkable in the first place.
Right.
It was drawn in such a way that you could put it small on the comics pages, and that made it attractive to people who were moving away from the big Steve Canyon size strips that were very ornate and big down to something more.
He also
manageable.
Made it so that sometimes, you know, when it was the four paneler, you could make it a cube. It was easy to put however you want it. Anyway, the narrative basically was what I've seen often, you know, over and over again, and it just bugs me, which is things are worse now. You know, now that the computers are coming, all the money's going away. Mm-hmm. We're screwed. So you're seeing these people who used to be doing well with the syndicates going, I'm not making as much as I used to.
They're still doing okay. And
and you got people like, you know, Bill Watterson, who retired, the person who did Kathy, retired. Jim Davis, I don't know if he's even read a Garfield strip in forever, but they still continues.
Yeah.
He did U.S. Acres, so, it's the worst thing in the world. Anyway, so it's all that. That's the narrative.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hope they don't end with this because this is ridiculous. And then the thing I liked was then they went into webcomics because, it's a fucking renaissance over there.
Sure.
It's gorgeous.
And it's a totally different medium that allows for all kinds of different ways.
And then you had the Luann guy, Evans. You know, going
Greg Evigan, also on
Greg Evigan. That's right. I used to work with that guy on a TV show. There we go. Name dropped. Oh, geez. No need for that sort of violence. That was Dave's testicles hitting the desk.
Testicle.
Oh.
I lost mine.
Well, that's
I lost one of mine. That's careless. Damn careless.
All right. Fair enough. Anyway.
Walking down the street.
Well, Dave, that's the way the ball bounces.
That's what the doctor said.
Yeah. If it does, please consult your doctor.
It's another... Could be bad.
But it was this narrative, which again, bugs me, which is old Greggy is going like, I get anytime, the computers come in, looks like the money goes out the door. Because he likes the syndicate, right?
Yeah, of course.
But what I loved then was they immediately smash cut to the Penny Arcade guys.
Yes.
Going, there's tons of money, bro.
Yeah.
It's lots. And here's... You just aren't going about it. You know, you're using... Absolutely. You go traditional methods.
I mean,
when the world is changing,
Yeah. I'm going to say something about them, but you finish.
No, you know, that my thing is, if you know how to work the system, you will succeed. But as they said before with the syndicate, you know, they showed like it's like 1 in 32,000 people make it into the syndicate.
That's right.
So, Jack, the odds were shit anyway.
Exactly.
This system in no way works. You know, so, all right, tell me more about this web thing. Yeah, there's no money. Yeah, for you 1 in 32,000 guy. All right, you lucked out there. It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah. But I want to talk to those other
people. I mean,
he
didn't luck out. He worked for over 10 years to get Yuan into...
He did, but then there's also...
I mean, he spent a lot of time. He sacrificed a lot to get where he is.
He did.
Let's be fair. Let's not take it away from
him. No, but luck is a part of it. He had the right strip at the right time when they needed it for that.
Sure.
So that's always the case. So then they... So you tell me now why you hate the Penny Arcade guys. Go.
Here's why I hate those guys.
Because they kicked out your friend.
Yeah, they didn't choose Abby. No, it's because...
Dear Abby.
No, it's because... Well, because, yes, there's tons of money out there. If you know how to get it, which they didn't know how to do, they signed away all the rights to their cartoons.
Yes,
when they were younger.
Whoops.
Yes, and luckily the company they signed them to went bankrupt, and they were able to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that they did was brilliant is when this guy came to them and said, "You know what? I think you guys really have a model that you could exploit and be millionaires." They said, "I'm going to listen to you," and so they hired a guy named Robert Koo.
And he wasn't a shifty jerk.
And
or at least he was an effective shifty jerk.
I mean, he worked for them to be the
now,
shifty jerk.
Now, you know Robert Koo because you watched Strip Search.
Yes.
And you're going, ah, that's...
I heard about him before that.
Okay, but that's the guy Strip Search who gives advice to the cartoonists and goes, here's what you got to know.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was nice about watching Strip Search was it wasn't just... learn to draw better. Keep drawing better. Get it out there. It's like, here's how you market yourself.
Yeah.
Here's how
you set up a table.
Watch out for this contract scam.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like all the
stuff. That was a good episode.
Yeah. It's nice seeing how this film and that series tie in,
mm-hmm.
you know, because these guys got hosed on a contract. So they're in the web series going, hey, this is how you don't get hosed on a contract.
Yeah.
And so it breaks down a whole bunch of elements really well for artists who, for the most part, don't like to do business.
Yeah.
And most artists will tell you that. They'll go like, I don't like schmoozing. No one fucking likes schmoozing. That's why they do it. No one fucking likes
Dave.
It.
Dave likes this.
I don't like contracts. Of course you don't.
No.
But if you don't learn about them, you're going to be bleeding money. So, you know, learn about them. No one likes this shit. No one likes cutting their toenails.
Yeah.
Cut them anyway, or you're going to cut your legs in the sleep. You know, you got to do the things you don't like doing.
And I like contractions. I should say I don't like contractions.
Well done. So, okay. Something else you were going to say about the web guys? And do you think it's bullshit?
No, not at all. I found it really heartening to watch. That's why when I wrote to you, I said it will make you want to draw comics because you feel like there's a reason.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you draw comics every day? Well, because, you know, you're busy and you don't see an end game to it. You don't see any kind of what am I doing this for? You know,
right.
Whereas these smart people, I'm not referring to myself, obviously, these smart people have made a system that works for them, you know, whether it's, you know, the money they get from the advertising on their website,
mm-hmm.
Sales of merchandise, attendance at cons.
Right.
You know, they've created a little mini economy for themselves.
They put a lot of stuff out there and sometimes, and again, I know you don't like the word luck, but like...
No, luck is fine.
Then when the right thing hits, they're ready for
it. Let's just call it what it is, God.
Sure. And God loves Luann.
That's right. When God loves Luann.
But God's getting a little sick of Luann because he's not getting Luann as much money. God loves Penny Arcade now.
God is loving Penny Arcade.
He loves web strips.
Penny Arcade doesn't like God at all, but God loves Penny Arcade. That's true.
That's how it goes. That's why God created the internet. He didn't create it to not be looked at.
Yes, right.
Don't be ungrateful, you jerk.
He invented this thing so people would make fun of God.
But then they go through, you know, other web card. You think like, well, this is the one fluke. But there's other people that, you know, make a living. I mean, someone like a Kate Beaton, who we bring up quite a bit on the show, you know.
Because
she's awesome. But, you know, she did her strips about Canadian history.
Yes.
You know, and like, who wants that?
To read about Confederation?
Apparently, a lot of people in England, because when I was there, she was the biggest thing there.
She was the belle of the ball?
She was, enormous. Lineups like crazy in Leeds for her. Amazing. You know, and she, I assume she makes her money off the book sales, which seem to be quite good.
Yes, I'm sure they're brisk.
There you are. And you got someone
and her
like...
her bags and her t-shirts.
Yeah. And then they just had a whole bunch of other web people. Now, again, you can go into it and just go, that's where the money is. All right, see, it's a license to print money. No, it's not. Look.
No.
But I'm just saying what it felt like was it's a better chance than 1 in 32,000 with the syndicate going... we need a new dog strip. And you better be lucky that you happen to have 24 dog strips ready.
That's right.
Let's see what we got.
Yeah.
You know?
Or you can do it really fast for them when they ask you for them.
Okay. Now let's get into the second part, which was, where all these cartoonists were saying, you know, I don't even have a life because I got to I got to come up with a joke
every day. Yeah.
And I've got to draw a four-panel comic.
Yeah.
Every day. Now, all right, tell me how you feel about this.
Well, okay. The complaints are mostly
from... who works in a warehouse. You tell me, by the way, how do you feel about the guy complaining about drawing that four-panel grid every day and coming up with a joke?
Yeah, it does. I mean, okay, I'm sympathetic. I'm not going to be not sympathetic.
Worked on a fishing boat.
Because I worked on a fishing...
Worked as a farrier.
Yes, I've done
in
all those
things. In danger of a horse kicking him in the head at any time.
Yes, I've done all those things. I don't think I was in danger of being kicked in the head. I hope I stood properly so that my head wasn't in the front of the hoof. But anyway, actually, I did almost get kicked in the head once. Luckily, I put my arm up in time and I kicked my arm instead of my head.
All right. Then you have argued yourself out of your own
argument. I had two nice horseshoe-shaped bruises on my arms.
Okay. Tell me why doing a comic strip every day is harder. Go.
No, I'm not saying that it's harder. What I'm saying is I understand that anything in your life can become a grind if that's what you want
it
to be. I don't mind working in a warehouse.
No.
That's the thing. I actually enjoy my job.
Absolutely.
I go to work. I'm in a good mood. I make jokes to the people I work with.
How many jokes a day do you make?
Oh, geez. Maybe 24?
Wow. Imagine having to make one joke a day.
I know it's hard. But, because there's always things to goof around about or whatever. Sometimes I get in trouble and I'm not so happy, you know, because I did something wrong and I feel bad or dumb or whatever.
Yeah,
but
you have to go in the Dave hole.
That's terrible. It's okay, though. But, I understand. It can be, if you want, anything
Absolutely.
You do in your life can become
anything
a grind.
Anything can be hard. That's true. And again, a lot of the things that I do, if someone was to go, is this so hard? And then I know the things that I do are hard. Like, I got to write a script tonight.
If someone
I'm going to be up quite a bit tonight writing an 11-page script. 11 pages? Big fucking deal. Like, I get it. But it's going to be hard. I understand. I understand what you're saying.
Any job. I mean, if you're just drawing for the fun of it, when you come home from school or at night, instead of doing your French homework, I'm not speaking about anyone in particular, but instead of doing your French homework, you sit at your desk and you draw pictures from a Monty Python animations of mortality. If you happen to do that, I'm not saying that everyone does that, but if that's fun, if that's your idea of fun, that's fun, right?
Right.
It's when you take that and turn it into something that you have to do.
Right.
You have no choice but to do this every day. But when you listen to them talk, you actually get both sides of it when they're talking, because you hear them talking about the grind, but you also hear them talking about that magical moment when you get like a run of a whole bunch and you just have this killer time where you're just like pumping out like 30 strips or whatever,
right.
And so I understand what they're saying, like any job is difficult. You're going to have to write 11-page script tonight. You might not feel like writing 11. The whole theme of it.
I don't.
The whole theme of it might be alien to you and completely, you can't get into it at all.
I'm not into it at all. No, it's true.
You're going to have to like strain, against all your urge to walk out the door.
Just going
to
do it anyway, yeah.
But you got to do it because that's your job.
I made a choice to do it, yeah.
Exactly.
But here's the thing about
it. But you're not going to complain about it either because, I'm sure that everything you do, or as much as you can, you try to bring some joy to it, right?
I've just heard this thing with, I bring a lot of joy to it. Anyway, here's the thing, though.
I said you try.
Right. I guess, both my wife and myself, we've both been close enough to a similar industry that when someone in a certain industry says something, you kind of go, really? And the narrative that and maybe it was just because they happen to have a bunch of people in a row go, it's really hard. You got to come up with a new joke every day.
They obviously put that together that way.
Yeah, I completely understand.
Yeah.
But now, realistically, that's not how you do it. Now, here's the thing. If you're writing a comic strip, you don't every day wake up and go, I got to come up with a new joke today. Grass? No. Here's what you do.
Balls?
You sit down with a piece of paper or a computer or whatever the fudge you want to do.
Yeah.
A stick and some sand. And you write down. So you've got
to Zen joke.
You've basically got to come up with 5 daily jokes and 1 Sunday joke.
Okay.
So
no, write, 6.
Six? Okay, 6 and
because you
six
still have
one.
Your you
so
still have your daily published
You're
plus
correct.
Plus your
I stand corrected. Okay, so so you write down a bunch of jokes, mm-hmm. you know. You do them all in like 1 day or 2 days. Yeah. You know, you don't write a joke a day. That's not how it goes. You write a bunch of them. And and if you're like any cartoonist at all, say you're Luann Greg Menardarams or a Mort Walker or almost any cartoonist that you see.
Stephen Pastis.
Let's go with that. He has a little bit more variety, but almost all of them go, what's the joke this week? This week...
Well, he has his own little...
Yeah, that's right.
He has his little things he likes to do.
Right, so. But if you go like a Zach Hill or whatever that is, or whoever, it's Luann's thing is less jokey, but it's just like, okay, no, this week...
There's a joke at the end of every...
Understood.
Thing. It's usually kind of a little...
But the week that you've got is going to be the same theme. So it's like, Mort Walker one is like, okay, it's all going to be golf jokes in Beetle Bailey this week. Okay. Or it's all going to be, the theme is, you know, going to be, it's all Christmas because we're going to have the holidays. Or whatever, but it's all going to be the same theme. Okay. So it's just like, now try to think of like 7 jokes about golf.
Yeah.
And they do, and they're fine, and they're okay, and they're mild, and it's a theme, and you go.
Yeah.
And it's not really freaking hard. Like, you write 7, and how you write 7 good jokes is you write 50 jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you do it. You can sit down in an afternoon, write 50 jokes. You can. You really can. And then just pick the best ones out of that, and you're fine. If you're a skilled person who does this, you can fucking do that. That's no problem.
Well, you assume that they're skilled because, you know, that one day the syndicate called them and said, we really like your strip. We need 3 months.
Right.
Next week.
Yeah.
So you got to... You know, they want to test you to make sure that you can meet these kind of demands, that you have the tools and the skills to be able to keep up
the
daily
thing.
Grind.
Yeah, again, they always tell that story, and that story is bullshit too, because it's like you send in your samples, whatever 7 or I don't know how many you send in.
Yeah.
But then they always go, and then they called me back and said, "Can we see 25 more?" And it's like. You had 25 more because you.
But were they that good? Though?
Yeah, but I don't give a shit if they were that good or not. You had them. The point is, they want to see if you can turn these over fast. But when you submitted your first batch, you had a bunch that you didn't submit.
Yeah,
you
they're
know
crap.
You did.
They're crap.
Not even they're crap. They're okay, but you put your best batch out there, and then you've got a bunch more. Also, if you have any idea of how this works, you know if this works, they're going to want a bunch more. So you plan for that. It's like when you send out a script. You know, to someone, and they write you back and go like, "Oh, that's cool. Have you got any other scripts?" Yeah, because I got a bunch of other scripts.
Yeah,
because I would. Because why wouldn't I? I'm not gonna go. Oh, geez, now I gotta write a full script. No, you know how this works.
You followed your typewriter,
right? So myself as like writing the Simpsons comic.
Yeah,
I write like a full comic. You know, at least a full comic every month.
Yeah,
and each one of those pages doesn't just have one joke on it. It's usually got 3 jokes on it, and then background jokes and a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, you can do it. I know I can do it, and I'm not anything freaking special. And I've been able to do this for like 15 years. Yeah, you can write a bunch of jokes if that's your job is to write jokes. It's not. You look at people on Twitter. They can write a joke a day. So many people can. This is not a crazy skill. It's fine. It's good. It's not. It's good, but it's not insane. Okay, now you're talking drawings, right? Now, my wife, she, you know, did a monthly comic. And in that monthly comic, she had to do a full page of art. A kind of industry standard is you draw a page a day.
Yeah.
And that page a day, in a standard, like, modern comic format, it's a shitload of detail, bunch of research.
Yeah.
There you go. You got to do this. And like a full page of comic a day. Now you're talking a 4-panel situation that's going to be shrunk down with very little detail. Repetition of characters, probably from the waist up. Probably. If you're like a Mort Walker, it's going to be the characters dressed the same way for the whole week as they're on the golf course, right? And so, yeah, you draw them all at the same goddamn time. Yes, it's not super easy. But it's not as hard as being a comic book artist at fucking all. So there you go. So that was me and her looking at this going, oh, that looks so hard. Oh, you poor thing.
I don't see. I didn't even think about it while I was watching it.
Then smash cut again. I'm going to say 2.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, this, you know, look at this 1 in 32,000 people who can do this. This must be a very difficult skill to master. Excuse me, I'm going to check out how webcomics work right now. Wow, a lot of people seem to be able to pull off this impossible task really well over and over again. Okay, well, maybe it's not that damn hard.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's that. That was one thing I did like in the movie was that they gave hope. You know, and that because I feel it's the same thing with anything. I feel it's the same thing with television, with film. I don't know that much about music, but I assume, you know, that there's an old guard that's going, the way it worked before was so good, and now it's no longer good. And there's the new guard going, I'm making money. Well, the old guard's going, there's no money to be made. And the new guys are going, well, yeah, I'm doing fine. Yeah. You know, I'm Jonathan Colton. I seem to be making a lot of money, and I've now got a cruise, the Jonathan Colton cruise that people are going on to cruise with me as I play my songs that I give away for free. That method is terrible and won't work. Yeah. Okay. See ya. I'll be on this cruise that people are paying a lot of money for, but, you know, someone will find out how to fucking make it work. I think the same thing that we see in the comics is with almost any art. That's just the way I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me I'm wrong, Dave.
Ian, you're wrong.
There we go. We brought that segment back.
Yay! We'll put that introduction in. I love that introduction.
Now back to Dick Talk.
Dick Talk?
No, we've already done that.
Oh, sorry.
Did we just get... Did we think people wanted Dick Talk instead of Dick... Oh, we read that wrong. Sorry, everybody. That was the mistake. Sorry,
everybody. And I just said fart as a swear word.
No, fart.
I had a busy weekend. I don't know if you heard this.
No, tell me about it.
Well, one thing that's happened.
Yes, by
to
the
us...
way, my birthday was nice. Thanks for asking. Oh, anyway, continue.
Shit. I was going to ask it too. Fuck.
Dick Talk.
Dave is the dick this week, everybody.
Oh, go ahead. You tell me your thing.
So embarrassing. I should have written it down. I knew I should have.
I don't think this is going to turn into a surprise party at all. Kept waiting for people to come out, but. Well, no, you tell me about your weekend.
I don't feel like it now.
No, I'd love to hear about your weekend. Please continue.
Well, it's been kind of busy for us because our longtime place where we kept our horses, they sold their house. Hmm. And so we're having to move all our animals and all the accompanying garbage that goes with your horses and such things. So that's a lot of work, right? So, and then I've decided that I don't care for doing the title cards as much as I used to. Because that Saturday night, I said to Lisa, I said, you know what I want to do? I want to go and, because we were supposed to go see my dad sing, which is kind of like one
with
of those things you have to
with
do.
With his quartet?
Yeah, with his choir. He sings with a choir, okay. with a chorus. And as men sing in a chorus, just so you know. And
do they?
I guess.
How did we meet in choir, you and me?
Yeah. There you go.
Guess we weren't men.
I don't want to say it, but there you go. So it's called, the show is called My Kingdom for a Chorus. No, it's, I can't remember but anyway, it was sold out, so we couldn't go. And too bad, really. I don't know what happened. And so I said to Lisa, well, let's go see a movie. Because I wanted to go see Love and Mercy, which is his new Brian Wilson biopic.
Okay.
That's come out in the theaters.
That sounds right up your alley.
It was, you'd think it'd be right up my alley. You'd think it would be right up my alley.
I do.
You'd think that, wouldn't you?
I think it's right up your alley. So much that I'm taking a big thing of water because I think you're going to talk about it for a while.
It was interesting because, you know, but I think what I've learned is that I don't really care for the biopic.
Okay.
And I think what it is is that, you know, like I go to see like the Brian Wilson biopic, let's say. Just for example, I went to see Love and Mercy on the weekend. I know a lot about the Beach Boys. I know too much about the Beach Boys. And so when they elide, when they kind of sort of slide over events or kind of connect things and leave stuff out so that because it's too complicated and you don't need it.
Yeah.
I'm the person honest going, well, why did they leave out two albums? They didn't talk about Today and Summer Days and Summer Nights. Like, what? They went straight to Pet Sounds. I don't understand. What happened? Oh, that's dumb. Because now they left it out. And, I mean, it had some great parts. It had Paul Dano. You know Paul Dano.
I don't know.
If you don't know Paul Dano, you think you don't know him, you know him. Because you've seen him in everything.
I don't know.
He's in everything.
I don't know.
He's always a guy.
I'm saying something. It like I don't know. Yeah. So you get it?
Yeah.
It's Paul Dano.
Paul Dano. I don't know. Yeah. I get it. Sorry. And so he played the young Brian Wilson.
All right.
The youngish Brian Wilson. And it was that part of the film was fantastic. Like it had like, it showed him in the studio with the studio musicians, like doing Pet Sounds, and just showed how he came alive, you know, working with these people, with these professionals and having them take the, you know, the songs that he wrote on his piano and turn them into like, you know, this full sound, this great sound of music. And, you know, and the studio that they worked in was incredibly small. It was amazingly small. And they've got like 12 people packed into it because you'd have like two people playing the piano at the same time. So there's two pianos in this room. Then there's a guy with an upright bass and then a lady playing, Carol Kay playing her electric bass. And then you got four guys on guitars and then the accordions and then the two, you know, three different percussionists, you know, the double blade on drums and Gene Estes or someone else playing their percussion. And it's just incredible. Like it's just an incredible thing to watch him working with them and them wondering what he's doing. And then it just comes together in this incredible way. And then it had the Beach Boys like doing their vocals, showing them like all four of them or five of them around the microphone. And singing and, you know, just doing all these layers of vocals and stuff. And that was fantastic. So great. Like, I loved all that stuff. Then, but it was weird. And I understand why, because why they had to do it, which is because they have to kind of suck up to the Brian Wilson estate. So they had to like have stuff about the Beach Boys, but then they had to like jump to modern times. Mm-hmm. And so they're telling two different stories. They're telling Brian Wilson of the 60s. And they're telling Brian Wilson of the early 80s when he was like this lost soul, you know, recovering drug addict under the extreme control of this very, very controlling psychotherapist named Eugene Landy. And it tells about him meeting his soon-to-be wife, a lady named Melinda, at a Cadillac dealership and him liking her and their relationship, trying to work around this crazy, controlling, fascist psychotherapist. And it's an interesting story, but it's two different films.
Yeah.
And to make it clear to you that it was two different films, they had Paul Dano, who looked exactly like Brian Wilson of the 60s. Like, not exactly, but very much like him, playing Brian Wilson. For the older Brian Wilson, they had John Cusack, who looks nothing like Brian Wilson or like Paul Dano.
Yeah.
So you're getting these weird cuts between Brian Wilson to guy acting as Brian Wilson, whose name is John Cusack, because it's John Cusack. You really can't have well-known actors. It's hard to have well-known actors play in biopics because you can't lose them in the role. You're always going, oh, that's John Cusack,
right?
Who's too old for this role.
Well, I think you missed a little film about Steve Jobs with Ashton Kutcher then. It's terrible. That was terrible. It was awful.
Well, you know, he's old. He dyes his hair black.
Yeah.
And he, you know, dyes his eyebrows.
Yeah.
But you know what? It didn't fool me. I know he's old. And he's probably older in that role as Brian Wilson than Brian Wilson was at that time.
Right.
Brian Wilson at the time was probably like in his 40s.
Yeah.
Whereas John Cusack is like, he's older than me.
Yeah.
He's in his 50s at least. Right. And yeah, it didn't work. Like, it should have worked. And it was a good idea in a way because, you know, you're talking.
If you'd had a third actor that didn't look like him in the middle, you might have been able to get away with it. Well, and then you're doing the full thing of just like, a lot of people are playing this character. And
then it did this weird thing partway through the two-thirds point of the film. Mm-hmm. It had this like, I called it the 2001 bed sequence. It just had this weird thing where he's laying in bed. This is, you know, Brian Wilson got fat and laid in bed and blah, blah, blah. But then there's a scene where he's like, you know, fat Brian Wilson laying in bed. Then he's old John Cusack Brian Wilson laying in bed. Then he's young young Brian Wilson, who you barely see in the film except for a few flashbacks, laying in bed. Or then standing, looking at himself in bed as old man.
Yeah.
John Cusack looking at himself and stuff like that, right? And so I was watching that sequence. I was like, okay, this only would work if you had also talked about his childhood. So if you did three different ages of him, young Brian Wilson dealing with his abusive father, you know, discovering the joys of music, you know, as a way to escape from you know, childhood of parental abuse, you know, and then mid-period Brian Wilson, you know, the Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, the creative Brian Wilson who just lost it all because he couldn't keep a grip on it, you know, because of familial pressures, business pressures, the 60s itself, drugs and everything else, it just destroyed him, you know, and then his recovery in the 80s, meeting this woman who was able to, you know, make him himself again and cure and heal him, which is kind of what that part of this film was about. Is it true or not? Or is it a sucking up so they can use songs from the Brian Wilson estate? I don't know. But, you know, that's the story, right? So if they'd done that, it would have worked a little better as a film to have the three different actor part would have made it better or something. It still wasn't good with John Cusack, but whatever. He's not a bad actor. I like him a lot, but it's just.
He's made some bad choices lately.
And this is not a bad choice. He does pretty well in the role. I liked his nervousness. I like how he played it. It's just he didn't look like Brian Wilson. So it just doesn't work in that situation because you've got a guy who is a duplicate practically. Yeah. And then you go to a guy who is a triplicate. And it just doesn't work.
I think there's a problem with most biopics where, I mean, the part I like about biopics, you know, I've watched some on the Beatles and some on the other, and I always like when they're young and because you don't know too much about them when they were young.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I can actually.
Yeah. Nowhere Boy is a good.
Yeah. You can make a good, you can make a movie out of it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ah, there's enough that I'm like, all right, I haven't seen this and this is neat and I know where it's leading and that's cool.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I like that in biopics.
Yeah. Then, or Backbeat is another good one where it's a lot about the Hamburg period.
Yeah.
And that's fun to see.
But the problem is then once you get into the period that's so well documented, now you're playing directly against reality, which we've seen.
Sure.
And now you're trying to match reality. And I think when you try to match reality, you lose something artistically.
You discover you cannot possibly best completely Beatles.
Ha. There you go. And then it gets to, you know, then it always is the thing where, you know, it's basically the, you know, inside the music. It's whatever that show was. There was something that was like, the thing was always like, here's how the band goes. And it was on MTV. And it was like, mm-hmm. the band, you know, started humbly and tried this thing. And it didn't work. And then this worked. And then it worked. Mm-hmm. And things got better. And things got better. And things got better. And then someone tried drugs for the first time, and things went bad.
Yeah.
And then they always end with, but they're still doing it. And they're in, usually it was like, in some, you know, playing dinner theaters or whatever they're playing. And
they're at the Silver Lake Casino.
Still hope and yeah. enjoy Jersey Boys, everybody, because everyone's just fine, you know? But you like the opening bits, you
yeah,
know?
That's
just
the part you
play
want,
with that,
sure.
you know? But once you get into a part that's so well documented, man, we got that already. We're fine. And I don't need you to now give me the twist of, and now, because dramatically we need a third act, everything's got to go, blah. I get it, but that's not how life goes. Life yeah. doesn't go, and now all at once it all goes south. Mm-hmm. There was little going souths throughout, and there was little growths throughout, and maybe there's one big spurt here. That's fine, but everyone tries to shove a real-life story then into a movie formula, and especially when it's so well documented, now it really does feel fake, and fuck mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, and well, but even with the Beach Boys,
and you end with an imitation game, and then you got to jam all the stuff at the end that wasn't true. The end.
That's right. With the Brian Wilson story, I always feel like it's never really been told. Like no one's ever told the truth of that story. I've read a couple of different books, and everyone comes at the story with their own preconceptions, and basically builds their Beach Boys mythology around it. Mm-hmm. And which is interesting because I guess you can do that. And so that makes it interesting that the Beach Boys are almost so vanilla that you can write yourself into their story, mm-hmm. you know? And it's interesting. It's cool. So
you're saying you want to direct a film about the Beach Boys?
Well, I feel like if this director had been able to do what he wanted, he could have, I don't know, maybe. I think if I was going to do a film about the Beach Boys, I would love to do what that guy did, which is to replicate that, you know, Gold Star Recording Studios time period of Brian Wilson doing Today, Summer Days, Summer Nights, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Pet Sounds, working into Smile. And maybe just doing about Smile and exploring why it all didn't work. Like what happened, exactly what didn't happen. I mean, you can never know, but just let's just conjecture in a way, but intelligently let's conjecture. Mm-hmm. Let's not make villains of everybody. Let's not make heroes of everybody.
Yeah.
Let's make heroes and villains, everybody.
That's what movies do.
That's a song from Smile.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Now I we know, all do.
But I thought I'd have some fun. For the people who know, they enjoyed that.
Some point, Dave's going to do a Beach Boys podcast. I predict that. That's my prediction.
Well, I do like them a lot. And it's funny because, you know, I grew up in that, when I was a, you know, that kid who was just starting to become interested in music. In the early 70s, that's when Endless Summer came out, the greatest hits collection mm-hmm. that Capitol released. And it was just basically a cash-in album, a double album of their very best of their surf songs, you know. So, you know, Catch a Wave, Don't Worry Baby, Fun, 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 I Get Around, all that stuff. And when I heard that, it just blew my mind. And I also heard it when I was on vacation at a lake where I was water skiing and doing a lot of boat activities, swimming and stuff like that. The perfect background music for that kind of life, right? Water, surfing, Too Young for Girls, but that's okay. You know, just all that stuff.
Yeah. I thought that was the name of a song.
I was too young for girls. Some people, aren't.
That'd be a good name for a song, yeah. Too Young for Girls.
No, this is a good name for a song. And, you know, and so I like that stuff a lot. I grew out of it. You know, when I became like, you know, punk rocker and I had to reject all music from before 1979, you know, I grew out of that stuff. It wasn't until I was working in a record store and reading about music again in my early 20s that I just started reading about Brian Wilson
yeah.
as a producer and stuff like that, and then discovered Pet Sounds.
That was an interesting, by the way, season in Dave's life, too, when we were watching that one. The Dave working in a record store season.
Why?
Well, we're talking about all the seasons of your life, you know, just like, you know, your farrier season, your fisherman season. It was like, remember the cool season where he was working in a record store?
Yeah.
That was good.
The day
wisecracking guy.
The day I slept in 2 hours, my very first shift. That was not good. But anyway, I did keep on working there. They forgave me. And so I kind of fell in love with that. And then I discovered Smile, you know, and then with the Beach Boys, what is interesting if you like music is you want to know about Smile. You want to like explore this thing that you can't have.
Yeah.
Because no one will ever have Smile. Smile, with the way it was conceived, the way it was developed, can never be duplicated, not even by Brian Wilson, because that whole time is so far.
It's a different Brian Wilson.
It's
now,
a different Brian Wilson, and it's so far in the past, you can't remember what he was thinking, because he wrote everything, and that was done in like little snippets, like little 30-second bits that were all meant to be like mixed and joined together.
That'd be a funny thing if that was the gimmick in the movie, was that he was a different Brian Wilson, which is why you've got a radically different actor.
I mean, it's that like, works. Yeah. That works in a way, but if they had have done it better,
yeah,
I think it would have worked. I just feel like it was just too, it wasn't done well enough. But yeah, I mean, I love the Beach Boys so much. But speaking of music, just to carry on, I know that we want to talk about your birthday.
No, we're wrapping up pretty soon.
But no, we'll get to your birthday. The other thing I did this week was I went to see Sufjan Stevens came to town.
Right.
So it's, you know, we have to go see him. It's a law.
You have to.
It's Canadian law.
Sure.
This was our fourth time seeing him play.
All right.
And so, it was, he does an interesting show because, you know, like if the same night, which made a lot of trouble for us getting into town, Shania Twain, Canada's Sweetheart, was performing. Is she Canada's Sweetheart or is that Anne-Marie?
Not anymore.
Anne-Marie's Canada's Snowbird?
No, after Anne-Marie killed all those guides in that drunken brawl. Yeah, people don't care for her anymore.
She killed all those guides? A bunch of girl guides
got
killed?
Yeah, girl guides. Yeah, that's right.
It was a cookie related.
I didn't like them cookies. Yeah, that's what she said.
She said she didn't like the mint ones.
Yeah, I guess you weren't prepared. And they're like, that's the Boy Scouts. Fuck you. Here's the Snowbird and one of those. Yeah.
So Shania Twain was here in town playing. And right. So, you know, I can assume the sort of audience she attracted, which is not the audience I saw at Sufjan Stevens.
Okay.
But, you know, her show would have been a spectacle. It would have been spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, flamethrowers.
Couldn't name a Shania Twain song if you had a gun to my head.
Something about a woman?
Man, that are you sure?
Man, I'm a woman? Man, make me a woman? I don't know.
No.
Man, you're a woman now?
Are you thinking about that Vanity Fair cover?
Maybe I know.
Girl, you'll
doctor,
be a man,
doctor,
woman
make
soon?
Me a woman.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Doctor, make me one. So you know, it's just a big show. So okay.
Where did it take place? The concert.
Sufjan's show is smaller. It was at the Orpheum.
Okay, nice space.
Nice space.
Beautiful space.
Concert hall, symphony place. The symphony.
It's
place.
The old timey Vancouver kind of place where you go to see like the orchestra. That's
yes,
where you see it.
Yeah. Opera's there. Orchestra.
Or maybe they'll show you an old Bugs Bunny cartoon while the orchestra
but
plays.
I've also seen the Pixies there and Spoon and other bands.
I've seen Yo-Yo people there.
Yo-Yo Ma?
Nope, just Yo-Yo. Guys who've actually got yo-yos. Uh-huh. I've seen that because they used to do a thing where they would have like a matinee and they'd show a cartoon and like a Laurel and Hardy have a yo-yo guy. It was pretty fun. And I was too old for it, but I didn't fucking care. I sat in the back. It was great. Like, I like everything about this. How much is it? $8? Yeah, I'd just go to the Orpheum to sit for $8. This is great.
That sounds good.
Was it all right?
Well, those seats, though, they're built in a time when people were smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Much smaller than us. But yeah, so Sufjan's show was a little less on the like the spectacle, but it still delivers. You know, like he had these it's interesting because we were talking a little while ago about people kind of sort of taking his religion away, like kind of like, and now Sufjan has lost his belief in God.
Right, we talked about that the other week. Yeah.
And so his backdrop was these windows. They look like church windows.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had these they're rectangle, but they're diamond pointed on both ends. And then they were kind of like different heights, then they peaked in the center. And on them, like they projected films, like films from his childhood and stuff like that, or like landscape scenes, like the like a lot of stuff from Oregon, because that's where he spent his childhood, and a lot of the songs from his album, which is about his mother and his stepdad, his summers were spent in Oregon, so it kind of dealt with stuff like that. Thank you, phone. And so it was interesting. It was really good. And then I did post on Facebook. Lisa took some video of the electro psychedelic freakout at one of the end of the songs. Because what's funny is the album is very acoustic. It's very quiet. It's very contemplative.
What is the album called?
It's called Carrie and Lowell.
All right.
His mom is Carrie and his stepdad was Lowell. And so it's, you know, it's about them. And so, and about his mom's death and his dealing with grief and stuff like that. And what was interesting is in the middle of the show, he, you know, stood on stage and he talked about death in our lives and its meaning and stuff like that. And then he said, and my prayer for the evening is da 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 da. Which I thought, when we were leaving, I said, not many concerts you go to that have a reflection on death with a prayer at the end of it. And a prayer selected for the audience, you know, not just, I'm assuming the way it sounded very natural.
Yeah.
And it came out of the situation, not out of, you know, some
it's
sort of...
It's not the Wayne Newton thing where Wayne Newton every show goes, you know, I never do this. I never sing this song. Yeah, but I'm going to sing this song for you people. I don't care. I'm singing it for these people. You can't wait. We don't have time. We're singing it. Here it comes. Every show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so his album's it's very quiet and beautiful. But this show, he took some of those songs and he kind of made them bigger and really brought it out there, you know. So I just said, you know, gently strummed guitars, chirpily plucked banjos, electro psychedelic freakout. Yeah, because it was just fantastic. But because when you're in it, you know, it's just a great moment of this real sense of release and rapture and
sounds
everything
joyful,
else.
Sounds joyful, yeah. Sounds nice.
It was a great show, yeah. Yeah, really great. And I bought all four of us the same shirt because I wanted to take a picture of us all wearing them, but no one would go for it. It's a Sufjan Fever. It's very 80s.
And right.
It seemed fun to me, but no one else thought it was fun.
A picture of that shirt at least and put it on our website.
I will, because I also got a single that I didn't know was out called Epic Fail, and I have not had a chance to listen to it
yet. That's a good name for a single.
It is really good. So Ian, let's come to the last subject of today's show.
Okay.
Which is, I got a haircut, and I want to talk about that for 15 minutes.
And whether or not I should dye my eyebrows to match it. I think anyone's going to buy it. How you do it?
So I heard from a bird on a wire.
Uh-huh. That the movie Bird on the Wire isn't as good as you think it is.
It's not very good.
Though it is a good place to see a lot of old Vancouver. Mm-hmm. If you watch it, you're like, oh, that building doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Neither does that. Oh, I missed that. That waterfall's gone. I don't think we have that much water anymore. Oh, boy. Anyway, that person's dead.
Yeah, remember when it rained that much?
I'm going to just sidetrack for a second. Someone, sure. I forget who it was online, was saying they were watching the movie Runaway. They'd never seen Runaway.
Oh, yeah,
they
Gene Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, that was like the big thing.
Filmed in North Delta.
And also seen at Robson Square.
Okay.
Old timey Robson Square. Yeah, it's Gene Simmons,
yeah.
Tom Selleck.
Okay.
Pretty good.
And Electric Bugs.
You want to see some good old timey Vancouver? That's pretty much it. That or watch any X-Files episode.
Directed by Michael Crichton.
Speaking of X-Files, now shooting in Vancouver again.
Oh.
Yep. So I'll come back. And apparently, now this is just the rumor I've heard, maybe be wrong,
yeah,
that it's a reboot. Basically, so chuck all the stuff out from the last couple. We're just going to get to this.
Never watch this.
Doesn't matter. So it's like, it's just the stuff that you want. Forget all the blah, 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 at the end. No, it's fine. It's this. Everything's good. Okay, cool. So please continue with what you were going to say.
So I heard...
Surprise!
Surprise! So how was your birthday week?
It was...
Did you take advantage of the birthday week?
No.
You did not take advantage of it.
Well, let me tell you this.
You didn't demand pancakes?
All right, you say, you be me, and I'll be my wife, Pia, and you say... Hey, Dave says there's a thing called birthday week.
Okay. So I just say exactly what you said.
You're being me. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, hey, Pia. Should I do like that?
Yeah, whatever you want to do. That's okay. Go ahead.
That's kind of mean.
Yeah, however you do it.
What a jerk.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm talking about you.
No, I know. It's just my birthday week and you're doing that. It's strange. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Pia. Dave says there's such a thing as birthday week.
Yeah, I don't go for that bullshit. So anyway, that's that.
But you know, she can't say that to you.
She did.
But no. She tried.
No, she did.
No, you didn't step on it because you got to say, listen, it's my birthday week.
Uh-huh.
I declare it birthday week.
Sure. So anyway,
It
kind of turned out to be birthday week because things that people wanted to get me, they couldn't in time. Uh-huh. So it spread out and it was pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean,
technically, this is presents, still my birthday week.
Yeah, presents aren't part of it, but it's just like stuff like, like you feel like having, say, one of my favorite meals, which is dumb, but from my childhood is macaroni and cheese with hot dogs. I love that for dinner. So if it's my birthday week, we will for sure have that during that week.
Can't you just ask for that anytime?
Yeah, but this time I can demand it and get it. Birthday week, goddammit.
That's my thing. Is like, I don't know what food I couldn't.
How about you feel like having some Dairy Queen?
Janelle, let me tell you.
You feel like having an ice cream cone from Dairy Queen?
Here's the first thing I did with my birthday week, and I did actually do this before my birthday.
Okay.
I said I would like to get a PlayStation 4 and it to be okay to be getting a PlayStation 4. And Pia said, yeah, you'll get one. And I went, yeah, I know.
Birthday week!
I know, but it's like, she would not say no anyway. Yeah. That's not the thing. But she's like, let's pretend that you might say no, and you say yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, of course.
Birthday week!
Yeah, so I got a PlayStation 4. It was good.
Good.
And
is it four times better than PlayStation 1?
Yeah, pretty much is. Cool. Yeah, all the things it can do?
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Good.
Yes.
The name
it's
is not a
very
lie.
Very nice. Like, I thought, like, ah, what's the big deal going from 3 to 4? Let's just okay. Yeah, that is way better. Yeah, all right. Understood.
Is it in 4D?
Yes, it's in 4D.
Yeah.
None of those are dimensions, unfortunately, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are they?
It's four diphthongs.
Dogs?
It's hard to explain.
Ducks?
No, you'd need
dinosaurs.
To know. You need to know a lot about video, and I can't explain it in this amount of time.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's got four Ds.
You don't want to waste your birthday week explaining how that works.
No, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah.
And you got to enjoy one of the things I got from my sister-in-law, which was popsicles. I had a popsicle mold.
Popsicle maker.
You enjoyed a blue whale popsicle.
I did. I was told it was a sperm whale. Yeah, spermsicle.
And then I also got that popsicle maker that you pour liquid into, and then 10 minutes later, you get popsicles out of it, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that's fun.
Yeah.
It's all just loosey-goosey. My wife and my sister-in-law made me a sailboat cake. After a discussion
of sailboat
cake.
That was
It was
very
a
nice.
Really good sailboat cake.
It looked good. It did look good. And the youth lifesavers, which is absolutely required by law, as we know.
Yeah, it was the winter.
American thing. Law, though. So if they did in Canada, it's pretty good.
Now, here's the thing, though. I have had some bad birthdays in the past. I find birthdays fairly depressing. And
Why?
So I.
Because you're getting older and you're going to die?
No, just because I'm not. Here's the thing. I can get into the real reason in just a second, but what I decided to do was, I was like, I'm not going to be a bummer this birthday, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to get stressed, and there were certain things that happened throughout the day.
Don't be a birthday weakling.
That would have been, I could get upset now. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to. And it was interesting. It was an interesting challenge going like, I'm not going to let this bug me.
Yeah,
right. Hey, if I don't let it bug me, this doesn't bug me. That's interesting to know. Let's see how long I can keep this up. The whole day. Good for me. Next day, it was like, about certain things. But but that day was fine and fine. No, what usually bugs me about my birthday is it highlights the fact that I don't feel like I feel very awkward in party or social situations.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I would love to have something like that,
mm-hmm.
but I would hate that so much. And I dislike that I feel this way about it.
Yeah.
And then often what will then happen is nothing will happen on my birthday then at all.
Yeah.
And then I'll feel like, fuck, nothing happened at all on my birthday. And it's like I get to the end of it and it won't even be a cake or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, fucking something. And it used to be when I was a kid, like around the age of 10, I think my parents went, birthdays don't matter. So they didn't really do anything about birthdays,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that used to bug me because, like, other people would be like, yeah, I had my birthday and I got this, that, and I did this. And we went to went to the movies. And mm-hmm. And my folks are like, hey, happy birthday. I was like, what are we, roommates? What's this? Come on. You know, and then I hear like now, you know,
suck.
You're like talking, what do you do with your daughters? Well, it's birthday week and they can have the treats they want. It was like, that is unbelievable compared to what it used to be like for my birthday. Unbelievable.
If they want to go see a movie, they can go see a movie.
Unbelievable. Could they not see a movie anyway?
Well, you know, times are tight.
No, you're stern. Oh, you mean you'd pay for the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just not giving them permission to go
to
a movie.
No, no, no. We'll take them to a movie.
All right.
If they ask. Yeah, like. You know, they have to be reasonable. I mean, it's not crazy. We're going to go to Europe. It's birthday week. But it's, you know.
We're not seeing a 3D movie. Get out of here.
It's just fun to have like a week where, you know, you get some say and stuff. And it was more fun when they were kids. It was more fun when they were kids, obviously.
Yeah.
As you get older and you're more independent. By the way, Phyllis got her N. She's now driving on her own. So, yeah, she has to drive with that for a year, and then she can take the second test to move up to full driver. But
How far before you can do the Mad Max-type driving?
I think you can do that anytime you want.
Really?
If you want, yeah.
You can just crawl out and fix your engine and then crawl back in.
Yeah,
and
you can do all that stuff if you want to.
All right.
Yeah, you can do it. I mean, I don't recommend it.
But you end up, for the first couple of weeks you're doing it, you got to get an M sticker on the back of your
you have to get a double
car
M,
for
a
Mad
double
Max.
M. Yeah,
Mad
M's.
Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so on and so forth. All right, so,
nice.
But to answer your question, it was a darn good birthday. And thank you to everyone from the Sneaky Dragon folks who, emailed me and said happy birthday. It was really, really nice.
Yeah,
and it all really was very touching. And, of course, the Facebook thing, everyone, it's so touching.
Every time you got one of those, I just thought to myself, how come no one said that on my birthday? What the hell, man? Did I not tell people it was my birthday when it was my birthday? I guess must have forgot.
Yep. You play it low and slow.
I do. I do play it. I don't want people to know how old I am.
Nope.
49.
Because someone might make a biopic about you and then have
two
different radically
different
actors. Yeah,
John Cusack, who's like way older than me, play
I think you could get your Jason Dedrick to play you.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yep.
He could do it. I wonder if he could imitate me. I'd have to ask him.
Yes. Let me say yes.
Yeah,
I'm 100% sure he could.
Yeah, he probably could.
Yep.
We'll have to get him on the show soon.
Yep. And I'd like him to play you at a certain... here's the thing. I'd like him to play you... Okay, here's what I want. I want him to play you now.
Yeah.
But then I also want to get Ben Mills, and I want him to play you at 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to see that. I would also love to see Ben Mills playing you on a fishing boat. I think he could do a lot of good shtick with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like this a lot. Oh, I'm trying to think of someone way too young now to play you.
Don't forget my season selling encyclopedias door to door.
Oh, boy. That is pretty good. I wonder if I could get Colin Mockery to do that. Yeah. I'll ask Colin if he'll do you as the encyclopedia. Because okay. I think Colin could do some funny encyclopedia salesman stuff with you.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Let's see what we got. Why am I going this thing with fellas? We've had female guests on the show.
Yeah.
We could do the Bob Dylan type film where it's like you get a lady to play you as well.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Who's a female guest that we've had that you want to play you? I'm going to get Nina Matsumoto to play you working in the record store.
Yeah, okay. I'm down with that.
Yeah, you're a little surly, sleeping in. Yeah, a little of that.
Well, I didn't start off surly, but when you work in a record store, you'd be surprised so quickly surliness takes over.
Nice. Okay. You know, actually, who would be good playing you in the record store? Mm-hmm. Sorry, Nina, I'm recasting.
Recasting?
John Cusack.
It's too true. God damn it.
Okay. Hey, everybody, we're wrapping up now. If you want to wish me a happy birthday, it's not too late. You can. It's still birthday week. So go to sneakydragon.com and post something in our message board or sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. That is our email. We're also on Facebook because why not?
We are.
As long as it's still popular, we're there, and we're sneaky_dragon on Twitter. If you want to give us a review on
Please talk to us on 140 characters or less.
There you go. If you want to give us a review on the iTunes, we always appreciate that. I think that's most of the. Oh, well, here. You know what we don't mention anymore? We have a series of delightful shirts that are cluttering up my basement because we had some of them at the VanCaf that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So why not order some?
Yes.
And then we'll send you some. We will also send you probably a mini comic of the things we talked about. We'll send you buttons.
Yep.
We'll send you so much stuff.
Stickers.
And if you ask me for a shirt in person at one of my live shows, I'll forget about it and not deliver it to you because I'm a real dick.
We're going to have it this time.
Yeah. Have we ordered that shirt,
yes,
by the way?
Yes, it's on order.
Okay, it sounds good. And then I show up at my show and go, oh, boy, I'm a jerk.
Then he spends the rest of the show doing a bad performance because he feels so guilty.
Yeah. But if you want it to be mailed to you, easy. We'll do it.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Then he has no excuses for his bad shows.
I really don't. By the way, when you're talking about bad shows, what he's talking about is I do the Critical Hit Show last Wednesday of the month here in Vancouver.
It's a good show.
If you want to come and see me live, Dave thinks we went through a bit of a dip, but I think we've come back. Say that much. Big changes in the show. Exciting things. Last Wednesday of the month at the Rio Theater.
I'm going to have to come again.
Yep.
It's not that I don't like to come. It's just that Wednesday comes before Thursday, and Thursday we do Totally Tintin,
mm-hmm.
and Wednesday I'm madly scrambling through Tintin books looking for information.
Right. And Thursday is Thor's Day, where Dave, every Thursday, reads every Thor comic ever written. Week.
Yeah. Only the Walt Simonson ones.
Sure. You don't like the Kirby?
Did Kirby do them?
He invented them. Yeah. Anyway, everybody, I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been Dave Conning,
I don't even know this asshole. Good night.
Webcomics.